Well, what a wonderful evening this is. If I could just add my thanks to everybody who's worked so hard to make this happen. Again, thank you to everyone who's decorated the church and lit all the candles. And thank you for those who have provided our refreshments afterwards. We do have some chocolate bars, mince pies and mulled wine after. So please do stay behind. A special welcome if you're not a regular here as well. Let me just say a short prayer. Father God, thank you for this wonderful season, for all the carols we sing, for the Bible readings we hear, but let us now reflect on what all this means for us. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin with a little story. In a field, on the outskirts of a village in mid-Suffolk, lived a family of moles. There was Papa Mole and Mama Mole, and they had two sons, Murdoch Mole and Monty Mole. The family of moles were a bit unhappy. Their little mole dwelling was precisely that. It was little. They needed to upsize. Now that they had two growing boy moles in the family, they needed a bit more space. So one day Papa Mole made the decision. We're going to increase our network of tunnels so that we could live in more space. Let's get digging. Now, the thing about moles, as we all know, is that they live underground in the darkness. And this posed a bit of a problem as the family of moles set about digging a way to enlarge their home. You see, on one side of the field was a wooded area, lots of beautiful trees. And as the moles tried to dig that way, they kept banging their heads on the roots of the trees. The problem is they couldn't see them. It's dark underground. Monty Mole came out with a suggestion. Papa, why don't we try digging on the other side of the field? Well, what a good idea, replied Papa Mole. What a clever little mole you are. This comment, of course, made his brother, Murdoch Mole, very jealous, particularly as Monty was looking so smug at the time. And so the family of moles started to dig on the other side of the field. Again, of course, it was dark as they tried to dig, and it wasn't long until, bang, ouch, my head, exclaimed Monty Mole. He had banged his head against the underground section of a wall of a new warehouse that seems to be springing up all over mid-Suffolk at the moment. Now it was Murdoch's turn to look a bit smug as he saw his brother clutching his head. You see, the problem is, said Monty Mole, is that we just can't see. It's just so dark. The next day, the moles decided to head off in a brand new direction. And as they dug, Monty came across an unusual object. For some peculiar reason, an LED torch had been left buried in the ground. And Monty looked at this strange device. Well, that's not true. He didn't look. He couldn't see it. So he felt it with his paws until he found the on switch. Suddenly, there was light. He could see. It was a miracle. It was wonderful. No more banging your heads on things, he thought. Now they'd be able to see the food they were eating. It was wonderful. This was the best thing ever. So full of excitement, Monty Mole went scurrying back down the tunnels to find the rest of the family. Using the torch, he could see. Unfortunately, the rest of the family were not impressed with the torch. They told Monty to get rid of it. Murdoch was particularly scathing, but he was the brother. And then Papa Mole explained, my dear Monty, you see, we're moles. We live in the darkness. We choose to live in the darkness. We live underground. We have never needed light before. Why start now? Monty, however, would not let it go. Surely light's a good thing, he insisted. We can see what we're doing with the light. It can guide us. It can help us not to bang our heads on things. And we can see the food that we eat. But Mama Mole, Papa Mole, and Murdoch Mole would not listen. Get rid of the torch, they said. We do not want any of that light stuff around here. Generations of moles have lived in the darkness and we refuse to change. And so the moles stayed in the darkness. They did not want the light because they did not understand it. So why do I start with a story about moles this evening? Well, unfortunately, I think sometimes we can be a little bit like those moles. It's certainly what our final reading from John says. The true light... You know what? The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And yet the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. We live in a dark world, don't we? Although there's so much goodness and wonder all around us, there is also so much darkness. And we can see that as soon as we turn on the television, can't we? Conflict, terrorism, knife crime, corruption in politics, corruption in business, climate change, plastic pollution, family breakdown. You've got to admit it, we live in a dark world. And not only that, we often feel that we're in the dark ourselves. Many of us feel directionless. And many young people these days just don't know which way to go. Opportunities for careers are just not what they were a few decades ago. Many of us set out on a course for our lives, only to realise that at some stage we've made a wrong turn. Sometimes we regret how we've fallen out with family members or friends, and we just don't know how to repair the damage. You've got to admit, sometimes we feel that we're in the dark. Just take a moment to consider. Is there any area of your life where you feel in the dark at the moment? I'm sure there is. But the challenge for us this evening, indeed this Christmas, is quite simple. Light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. What will we do with that light? Are we going to be like Murdoch Mole and Papa Mole and Mama Mole and reject that light because we do not understand it or think we do not need it? Or are we going to investigate how marvellous the light is, as Monty Mole did? You see, Papa, Mama and Murdoch were suspicious about the light. They weren't used to it. They didn't think they needed it. Obviously, though, they did. They were suspicious of it. Most of all, I don't think they really understood it. Our Bible reading says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. I can actually relate to this personally. In my teenage years, I had a bit of interest in Christianity. It was only a small interest, but it was there nonetheless. But I didn't really understand what it was all about. And then a friend of mine at school called Simon told me he'd become a Christian. And I saw him change dramatically. He went from being a person who was obsessed about the military and its weaponry, particularly the negative side, the amount of damage certain weapons could do. He went from that position to somebody who was passionate about nuclear disarmament. 6 months earlier, just to wind him up, I put up a CND poster. Do you remember the sign, the CND sign? I put up that poster just to wind him up, and he shot it with his air rifle. Damaged the wall as well at school. 6 months later, he wanted to join. Now, I'm not here to argue the pros or cons of nuclear disarmament in the 1980s. I just want to point out that Simon changed when he became a Christian. He went from being passionate about war and destruction to being passionate about peace. And one evening, I remember him chatting to me. He said, Peter, I've started to pray. Have you ever prayed? Do you believe in God? And I'm sure he must have told me the core message of Christianity and Christmas. But if he did, I don't remember. I didn't understand it. I arrived at university and I still didn't understand it. I had conversations there with people about Christianity. They must have told me about the core message of Christmas and Christianity. And I didn't understand it. They told me about the light that is Jesus. But I was still in the darkness. And then I left university and I moved to London and I had a Christian friend there and he persisted with me. He kept going on. And then one day, the penny dropped. I understood what the light was, and it was marvellous. I started to investigate it. But you see, the point I'm making this is, it's so easy to think we know about Christianity, and yet we remain in the darkness. The light can shine in the darkness, but too often the darkness does not understand it. And that's tragic. Because the light could have transformed the lives of Papa Mole, Mama Mole and Murdoch Mole, but they rejected the light. Because they did not understand it, they thought they did not need it. My friends, this Christmas, don't make the same mistake. Light has come into the world. We do not have to remain in the darkness any longer. But let me just say one or two things briefly about why it's so good to embrace the light, or at least investigate why it is so marvellous. Later on in the Gospel account of John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, if we want to walk through life seeing clearly, well, it would be good then to have the light of Jesus in our lives. He can guide us through the darkness of this world and help us to make sense of it. And notice there that Jesus also says we can have the light of life. Jesus can give us true life. That's why he came. In another place, Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and live it to the full." Sometimes I think people out there kind of just think that Christians, well, if you're going to become a Christian, you've got to get miserable. Stop having fun. Not a bit of it. Jesus says, live life to the full. Sensibly, maybe. But certainly live it to the full. And then, Jesus says that living life to the full does not have to end at death. Life can get even better after death. Jesus promises eternal life in a good place beyond death. Now this is why Jesus came into the world. It's why we say Christmas is good news. Jesus is the light of the world. He gives us the light of life. Let's not misunderstand this amazing offer and reject the light. Because so many do seem to miss the point. Later on in our final reading, it said this: "He," that's Jesus, "was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." As I say, let's not make the same mistake. It might take time and investment to discover who Jesus really is. It did for me. But you know what? It's worth it. We gain the light of life. The light that guides us through the darkness and brings us to everlasting life. Just notice there, the Bible reading goes on to say that to people who do receive the light of Christ, to those who believe in his name, we're given the right to become children of God. Now that's important because one of the reasons we feel so unfulfilled in this life is because we're not in a relationship with the God who created us. But when we embrace the light that is Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, we too can become sons and daughters of the living God. And with that comes fulfillment and meaning for our lives. So my friends, this evening, let's not be like those moles who thought they did not need the light, who did not understand what the light was all about, who are suspicious of the light. Let's be like that one mole, Monty Mole. He could see there was something good about the light. Let's be like him. I'm going to do an experiment here. Some people have seen me do this before and it has worked. Let's hope it works tonight. I'm going to show you this special candle. One extra candle. There we go. Whoops. Now, I want to show you this candle because that sentence I've been focusing on this evening, the light shines in the darkness. Go back to it. But the darkness has not understood. It can be translated, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. the Greek's deliberately ambiguous. Although so many people choose to remain in the dark, the light will be victorious. Now you see, the thing about light, even just a little bit of light like I have here on this candle, is that it breaks through the darkness and brings hope. We can now see clearly. But people keep wanting to put out the light. Even at his birth, that's what Herod did. He wanted to get rid of the light. He wanted to blow it out. But he wasn't successful. The light came back again. And then a bit when he was a grown up in his hometown of Nazareth, after preaching in the synagogue, many of the people there didn't like what Jesus was saying and they tried to push him off a cliff. They tried to blow out the light. Were they successful? No, he just walked through the crowd. And then later on, the religious leaders tried to put out the light. They weren't successful either, because Jesus just keeps on shining. And then, of course, finally, they nailed Jesus to a cross. They thought, that's it. We've killed him. We've blown out the light once and for all. And that was it, or so they thought. But did it work? No, 3 days later, Jesus was back. Because you can't put out the light. I'm going to be insistent. Because on the third day, Jesus rose from the tomb. Because you cannot put out the light that is Jesus. And throughout the centuries, people have tried to put out the light. But here we are, 2,000 years later. No matter how many times people try to persecute followers of Jesus, you can't destroy him because he is the light of the world. Come on, I can see you're trying. Don't let me down. There we go. You can't put out the light that is Jesus. He will be victorious. So friends, we've heard tonight, don't misunderstand the light. Don't fight against the light. It will be victorious. And we're invited to come into the light. Don't remain in the darkness because you don't understand it. Find out about the light. Find meaning. Find eternity. Find fullness by becoming a child of God. I am going to put this out now. If it will let me. As you go, after having had some mulled wine and a mince pie, I hope, do take one of these little books by Rico Tice. It just helps you to think a little bit more about Jesus and why Christmas Day is so